This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
On Joy.
She's a household name. She's got mega hits like Absolutely Everybody, Mr. Mysterious, Perfect. Those are my childhood anthems. But now she's back with probably one of the greatest songs I've heard in this year, really. It's an absolute bop. Heavy Lies the Head. Vanessa Amorosi, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's a lot from DJ Mikey D over here, because he's very funny on your music, aren't you?
I'm picky. Yeah, well, it's my job. I have to be.
I'm picky. I'm picky too.
Thank you. And we're just talking about how Vanessa has a vocal range of seven octaves. It is mind-blowing. Is that right? Am I doing you like justice here?
Yeah, I tend not to use all of those octaves just because they're not, you know, whistle tones are really annoying. If you've ever heard a whistle tone, they're very loud. Well, mine are. And then I used to, as a kid, never write in my low octaves just because it wasn't child-friendly pop. Woohoo!
The poppy, yeah.
So it's only been recently, since going to the States and doing a bunch of gospel music and a bunch of other stuff, that I've went, you know what, screw it. I'm going to start using my
I've read that because you've been out there doing a gospel album with the Dave from the Eurythmics.
Yeah.
So you haven't released that yet? It's there,
no,
ready
it's
to come in?
There. Yeah, I'm so anxious about it. I want to get that out there, but I have a few things that are just sitting there for a lot of music in the next couple of years for you guys.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Look, we were talking about your childhood. I mean, you rose to fame at 16 years of age. I mean, that's got me thinking about how different both our lives was. Like, I was 16 4 years ago or something like that. How different both our lives were. What was life like on your end as a teen celebrity?
I can't remember much of it. Yeah. I think it was pretty busy and wild. You know, as a kid, I started working at around 13 in a club as a pop 40 singer. I also had a band at school, and then I also was working in a studio part-time helping the engineer, and I would get paid back in being able to do my demos.
Oh, okay.
So I was already working a lot. So by the time I had success, I was already frustrated. I felt like, you know, as a kid, years feel like long time. Yeah. Now that I'm older, a year feels like, oh, that was last week. Yeah. But back then I was like, oh, I've been doing this for so long and it's just no reward and blah, blah, blah. And then by the time I ended up having success, it was like I was already well worked in to the scene. So it was just like continuing what I was already doing. I was gigging all the time. The only thing that was different was that I was talking about myself a lot, which was really unusual.
Yeah.
But you know what, as a parent, as we were discussing, I had my children now are 13 down to 25, so they grew up listening to your music. You, as a parent, you're a great role model. You weren't flashing your boobs, you weren't out, you know, we had Britney's, we had all of those. You were there with your voice, you were rocking out, and my children really looked up to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I definitely made a very strict decision that I would stay true to exactly what I was. Even though, you know, there were a lot of times where I was forced into certain things that they got away with, but as a kid I was pretty strong headed, and I knew that the only thing I could really deliver was I could write songs and I could sing. And outside of that, I didn't want to try and pull anything else off. I didn't want to look like a supermodel. I didn't want to try and act. I just wanted to pull off one thing and pull it off okay. So that was, I think, part of my survival and not going off track to do other things because I was just so headstrong. Whether that worked, I don't know. But
because I was saying before, one of my favourite memories of my children is the 2000 Olympics closing ceremony, and all the country towns, we lived in Port Macquarie, put big screens up for everyone to come and watch. And you came down in that hexagon little silver thing and your silver outfit and jumped out singing Absolutely Everybody and watching my children dance up in front of the stage. Knowing lovely memory to sit there in that beautiful weather and watch that.
It's such a great memory for me too, because it was a real turning point in my career, because Absolutely Everybody had come out before the Olympics and before 2000. Mm. And we had the most disastrous video clip. It was one of those real cheap video clips. They're like, all right, we're going to have you dressed in an Indian outfit. Then we're going to have you dressed like this. And it was like the most disastrous thing. And it pretty much bombed the song, to be honest. This is a little insight people don't know about. I never actually speak about it. But it nearly bombed us. Like, people didn't want to pick it up or play it. And we had some good momentum after Have a Look. And then that video clip was like, ugh, what is that? And it was very cheesy and tacky with what was going on in the States against Britney Spears and those type of artists. And I was lucky enough to land the opportunity to do the Olympics, and it literally revitalized and cleaned the slate. And then we did a video clip of the 2000 and me performing absolutely everybody on that stage and performing like I would normally perform, and it literally saved my career, I think.
Whoa.
Because that footage, and then it was like I was now a part of Australia and a part of this journey.
Yeah.
And now the song had a home, but before then it was like it didn't have a home. It was kind of very...
Ooh, and you're right, in those day and age, MTV was so important.
So
if you didn't have the great video clip, you weren't catching the younger audience anyway.
Yeah.
They weren't,
yeah.
I could say, well, that's terrible. True.
Vanessa, your brand new single, Heavy Lies the Head, is empowering as it is reflective. And it's an obvious question, but I really want to know, who is it about?
It's about a couple of situations that have been pretty toxic that have nearly taken me out. And it's really about walking away and being able to allow karma to take over on those situations versus trying to sort it out or trying to get even. And that song to me is super empowering because it's really hard for me to walk from situations and call it a day.
Okay.
Which would be hard when you... I mean, as we're saying, and you'll be probably sick of saying it, there's been two breaks in your career where you have taken a bit of break or we haven't heard from you. Is it hard for you to walk away in the middle of success?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. When you found your domain that seems to be working art-wise and business-wise, it's a very risky decision to just pick up and walk. But in both of those points in my life, I had got to a point where I needed to change teams so I could grow because I was still being categorized as a 16-year-old kid and I was now 20-something. And that took a long time to sort out business-wise as well as art-wise and come back with something to say. And then when I came back with Perfect and This Is Who I Am, from that moment I finished touring in 2011, and I went through another one of those moments where it's like, all right, now it's time to evolve and improve as a songwriter and as a singer. And I was writing songs, but I just, nothing I was writing I thought was any good for anyone to hear. And it was a really big decision to leave at such a high point because I felt like the art was just lacking and I just didn't want to release crap.
That's very brave, honest. I think that's great because I think it'd be, a lot of people would be so hard to think, oh, let's just throw out another song and try and build on the momentum, which could kill you.
Yeah, just keep writing the same thing. Well, it's a common pattern when I started was if one thing is working, you don't go and refix that. Just keep writing us 10 songs that are exactly the same as that. And then when the audience decides, oh, we're over that song, then you can go and write another one. But I was just never really any good at that. I wanted to write songs that captured a moment and then hopefully it took on its own life, but then I wanted to move on from that journey. And that's why most of those records are very versatile.
Yeah. What's the still like singing the old songs from...
I love it.
It's great memories. It's
turns me back into a kid.
Oh, great.
Every time I start playing those stuff, it's like a photo. It brings me back.
What can we expect with the new music?
It's going to be versatile. So it won't just stay in this genre. It'll be all in the pop world, but it will be very versatile. And as far as vocal goes, I mean, I'm not going back and rewriting things and getting worried about things being too low or too high. I'm just unleashing the dragon.
Unleashing the dragon. That sounds fantastic. Yeah.
I'm so excited for these to start hitting the charts. It's going to be phenomenal to have Vanessa Amorosi back in the headlights again. And you're taking this all on tour, which is brilliant. It's going to be the Vanessa. You've got so many tours coming up as well.
We're literally the next 3 days is going to be a bit of a jump around the country vibe, but it's awesome. And I'm also now starting to book in a whole run in May. So if people check out...
Well, we've got that there. In May, you'll be playing at, like, the Chelsea Heights Hotel, the York at Lilydale, Doncaster Shopping Town Hotel.
Yep.
But you've got VanessaAmorosi.com. They can go there and have a look for tickets.
Yeah.
I noticed the concert tonight at the Palms with John Stevens is sold out already.
Yeah.
Which is
a
shame.
I think even the next night is sold out as well. And then everything's becoming a blur. We've had actually a really good run together, me and John.
What's it like going back? Because let's just think when when he was Noiseworks and you were Vanessa Amorosi, you know, here's this 20-something-year-old man and you were 17. You probably were performing at similar places but not been able to drink together or talk together.
The great thing about in Australia, we all cross paths with each other.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I get to really, I've grown up in an industry with people that have been incredibly good guidance-wise, you know. know, and great role models. And it's not just, you know, it's John, it's Daryl Braithwaite, it's all of them, all the guys that I'm on the road with now. I've crossed paths with them many, many times, and I've also been educated by those dudes, you know, being on the road with Jimmy Barnes and watching how he is with his family and all of that. It's a great insight to how I can set myself up as a long-term artist as well.
Okay. Oh, good. Do they still treat you like the little girl?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, because they've still been looking at, oh, it's, yeah, little Vanessa.
I do. I mean, John does that. He's definitely, you know, like, takes on that father figure and very protective, and it's amazing. It's so lovely to have.
And well, that's nice to hear that Australian music industry is still a family.
Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, so and the community is doing so well in the industry. We're starting to get everyone going, you know, gangbusters overseas, which is phenomenal. But you can catch Vanessa Amorosi to grab your tickets before they all sell out at VanessaAmorosi.com. And make sure you get the brand new single, Heavy Lies Ahead, on repeat. Put it on your Spotify playlist, iTunes, chuck it everywhere.
Yeah, and also hit my socials. Go on, guys, hit my Instagram.
And what's that at? What are we at you? Is
just it? Vanessa Amorosi.
Oh, yeah, cool.
On Instagram. Come and check us out, because I normally post a lot of my videos up there on where I'm going to be the next
day. Okay.
So. Wake up with Tom and Mikey, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune into 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.